Hey, thanks for tuning in to a new episode of the Phoenix MMA podcast. So we got a cool podcast. This one's going to be short and sweet. I know I say that all the time, that ends up going an hour, but this one shouldn't take an hour. So short, sweet episode, but should help you out with your training. Lots of people, this is going to be one of those that you might actually know. You might not know if you're new to training, like less than 2 years of training. And sometimes you'll fall out of good habits. So as a little reminder, lots of these podcast episodes are reminders for myself as well. And just when good stuff comes up, and again, like I said, if you're under that 2 years of training, you're still new to training. So there's a lot of misconceptions when it comes to martial arts training and actually mastering a subject, because there's a lot of people that talk about mastering things and they have no idea what they're talking about. They haven't mastered anything in their life, but they watch a lot of movies and put on a front and act super tough. So lots of times when you actually hear from people that are masters or excellent in any topic, it'll actually be surprising to you, but it doesn't go to that base level. A lot of the base level advice that you're going to get sounds kind of like, from a base level experience, you're like, yeah, that sounds right. That seems, it's like, no, there's a reason why the pack or the herd, the normal people, not everybody gets great or excellent at something. You know, 90% of the population generally doesn't go the correct way. So, you know, sometimes the information is going to be counterintuitive to what you think. But if you actually take the time and you train or you think about it, you'll say, oh, okay, that does actually make sense. Once you hear it, it actually does make common sense. But there's just a lot of bad examples. And I'm going to talk about that today. Actually, I got to put that to my notes. 1 second. Sorry for that hesitation. I almost left an important part that I wanted to put in the podcast out. So this one's eliminating the drag from your training. So talking about drag, like for a vehicle, like, you know, a car. Or if you're running, you know, if you put a parachute on your back, if you want to create drag then because you're giving yourself a stress stimulus and you're making it more difficult. But ideally, you don't want this. You don't want any unnecessary drag in your training. Is going to slow down your progression, your skill development, and these are just some things. Again, this will be a good one to listen to, you know, maybe every 6 months or so, because it's going to go over a couple things that everybody, even pro athletes, have to hear every so often. It will eventually become just part of a habit and kind of part of your training personality, and you'll have it ingrained there. But from time to time, you'll slip out of it and you'll need a little refresher. So we're going to be going over some things that are just going to, again, slow down your progression. It's going to slow down your progression with developing new skills, new techniques, pushing yourself, challenging yourself. And also it will cause you injuries if you're not doing these things. And then the most important part, probably to put everything together, is the last little piece, little note that I had, and I'll, you know, break down why you're probably not doing this and you're nervous, like what it stems from, because it does stem from a very specific part of the population. I can't stand them. I absolutely can't stand them. They're cowards. They're bullies, and I can't stand them. But the cool thing about training is people's personalities. They don't have to say a word. It comes out. Okay. It comes out people's work ethic, how they treat people. You know, if you're polite to people, if you're kind to people, if you got a hard work ethic, if you're competitive, if you're driven, if you make excuses, but also if you're a bully and you try to pick easy matchups, and you're, you only want to pick a fight if you know that you're going to win or something like that, that also comes through. You don't even have to say a word. It's easy. It's easy to see. You know, if you're 220 pounds, 210 pounds, and you're going against, you every time the sparring rounds, you're picking out a 130-pound teenager. It's like, yeah, there we go. Pretty easy, you know. But then on the other side, I'll have a 150-pounder that is quiet, polite to everybody, works their butt off every single day. And then when sparring rounds, I got to control them because they want to go with the 300-pounder because they're like, hey, I want a challenge. So it's the little personality clusters are pretty interesting when it comes out. And just because you're – and there's also another one that's bad too, is people think that – don't want to be competitive. Being competitive doesn't make you a bad person. Now, you can be competitive. Everybody's met a super competitive person that is really rude and is a jerk to everybody around them, just trying to destroy them. But you can actually be hyper. You can be very competitive and still be a great person that's very nice to people. It's just when it comes to a sport or a game, you're competitive when it's time to be competitive. But people also kind of, that's another personality type that's frustrating to me. They'll try to, what they try to do is they're trying to hedge their bets and weaken you. And if they weaken you, then they don't have to try as hard they don't have to try as hard because they can just put you down and keep you weak. So first we'll go on the first big one. Skipping warm-ups, all right? So this is gonna mess up your training. This is gonna create all types of drag for you, all right? Skipping warm-ups, this would also apply to competition. If you have a tournament or a fight coming up, doing this is gonna mess you, it's gonna mess you up. If you got a tournament or a fight coming up, you need to have a good warm-up, at least about an hour before you're going to start competing. But with, normal training, by the time we spar, generally we've been moving our body for about 45 minutes to an hour, and then we get going. And the skipping warm-ups, though, the biggest thing is it's going to increase the chance of you getting injured, okay? Your body temperature needs to be elevated. Your heart needs to be elevated. Also, for your heart, you never want to go from a walk to a sprint. It's not good for your heart to go from a relaxed state up to a heightened state. It's not healthy for you. You need to ease into that. You need to gradually work up to it. You also need to increase your body temperature. So as you increase your body temperature, you're going to become more flexible, less likely to pull a muscle tear a tendon or a ligament. You need to increase your temperature. You need to increase the blood flow in those areas. You do need to stretch. You don't want to stretch while you're cold. You need to warm up. We don't stretch until we've done a decent amount, at least enough to elevate your heart rate with all the drills, if you're doing actually the warm-up correctly. Instructor's pet peeve is students that skip the warm-up, and it's not as a, I don't take it as a disrespect. Some instructors do, they get on a high horse and they just get a little arrogance to them, and they take it as a disrespect, like, okay, you're disrespecting me because you're not following, doing what I say. It's not, for me, I don't feel that at all. It's not that you're not doing what I say. I'm really big on individual freedom. You can, I'll teach a technique to the best of my ability. If you want to drill and work the technique the way that I taught, feel free. If you want to do an adaptation or experiment with something, feel free. I'm teaching you the best way that I know how to teach it, that from my studying and my experience that I've learned. If you want to deviate from that path, that's fine. You're experimenting, you're studying. It's just, if you deviate from that path, then don't say, just don't complain about it and say, well, I'm having a hard time with this. It's like, well, of course, that's not the way I taught it. That's not the, and it's okay I might just remind you, like, hey, the hand was an underhook, not an overhook, for a reason. It takes time before you actually learn things. That's why I'm not too harsh on people. That's another one of the bad behaviors, is a lot of people that actually haven't achieved mastery in a subject, they're really harsh on everybody. They're real harsh on everybody, but not harsh on themselves. So they talk trash to everybody else, but when it comes time for them to, like, put in the hard work, like sparring or something, they're nowhere to be found, but they're really harsh on everybody else. That's the mark of someone who hasn't achieved mastery. This is not like, again, just don't understand actually what it takes to actually achieve mastery. If you've gotten there before, you've won a world championship or a national championship, you know how hard it is. You know all the heartbreak and the falls and all the struggles that you've gone through. So you get a good, like, understanding side of yourself. It doesn't mean that you give, are super easy on people, but you need to challenge everybody. We all need a challenge. We all need a coach. We need somebody that will make us grow. But they're not going to be like harsh on you for a unnecessary reason. So it's going to decrease your chance of injury. That's the biggest thing in the warm-ups. It's doing it for the heart rate. You're getting blood flow to the major muscle groups. When you're sore, if you're lifting and you're doing conditioning, you're doing all these things, if you're really sore, you really need to warm up those muscle groups before you do anything explosive, or squeezing really, really hard. so you don't cause an injury. All of our warm-ups that we do in class are designed for that. So I know that they are repetitive. They're the same thing every day, but some things you need to do repetitive, the same thing every day. You don't need to do everything because you will get bored and things, you know, then you'll get stagnation. But some things, your warm-ups, they need to have some continuity to them and they need to be consistent. Yeah, so I get why people get bored, but you need to do them for the elevation of temperature, heart rate, increase of blood flow. Definitely when you're training 4 or 5 days a week and you're doing strength conditioning as well, skipping warm-ups is one of the biggest recipes for injury, okay? Generally, people who skip warm-ups are the ones who get injured the most frequently. People who do a really good warm-up and never spar without a warm-up get injured the least, okay? Let's see. This is going to go into the purpose of warm-ups, but also why a little bit into the injury prevention as well. So our warm-ups, say for a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu class, same thing for our Muay Thai class. We're working on slips, we're working on rolls, we're working on basic stuff that you need to get to the point where, you know, your hip escape, your front roll, your back roll. If you have to think about it, it's too late. Okay, that's another part of injury prevention, but also to help you out when you're actually sparring and you're doing your sport. All these things like slipping a punch, rolling underneath a hook, checking, you have to be able to do these things without thinking. If you have to think, it's too late, okay? The actual movement of the hip escape, the front roll, back roll, if you have to think, it's too late. Now, when you're sparring, things do slow down. It's one of the coolest things about getting into a flow state is how things slow down. You can think, but those are the base level techniques. They're so base level, you need to do them hundreds of thousands of times, and then you still have to do them thousands of times to just keep them at a base level, because all skills will depreciate if you don't work on them. Anything you're doing, you only have so much memory in your RAM and the things that you're focused on, and if you've ever made a career change, if you think about a career that you had maybe 5 or 10 years ago, you'll remember the broad strokes of it, but the precise, specific day-to-day routines, it would take you some time to get back into it. Same thing with a sport. You'll remember the broad strokes if you haven't done jiu-jitsu or boxed or wrestled for 15 years. You'll remember the broad concepts, but it would take you time to get all that memory to come back. All skills will depreciate over time, and the really important ones, like if you're just getting tripped or thrown, back rolling and not rolling over your neck or your head, that's going to be important as well. These are also coordination drills. So front rolls, back rolls, you'd be amazed. Common thing when people first start training, they're usually really uncoordinated, and doing a front roll and a back roll might be a challenge to where you actually don't injure yourself. It's coordination training. It's base level athleticism training and coordination and keeping that. The next thing you're doing too is when, say for jiu-jitsu, you're doing a back roll and a front roll, or Muay Thai, you're doing slips and rolls or checks. These, every single time you're doing it, you're actually doing an active stretch. You don't want to stretch when you're cold, but active stretches or dynamic stretches, or you're actually incorporating mobility into it. So that's why I'll say for jiu-jitsu class with the front rolls, back rolls, take your time, go slow. You're rolling over your back. Maybe you've been sitting at a desk or a chair all day long, and your back's probably got tight, so you need to take your time while you're doing it. Go slow. Doesn't mean skip it, but go, take your time with it. But you're increasing your range of motion. It takes a long time to increase flexibility and range of motion. But doing it in a dynamic stretch is better than a cold static stretch. Static stretching is best done at the end of a workout when you're really warm, you're really hot. Not at the beginning, definitely not when you haven't even ran, for 5 minutes. I've heard this complaint from even high-level jiu-jitsu practitioners. The thing is, when you're at an elite level, say pro athlete level, you do learn how to, I can spar my first round in jiu-jitsu. I can do a 5-minute sparring round, and I can do it as a warm-up and not get injured. I don't do it very often because I have gotten injured doing it. But I have the ability to do it. And it's where you're basically starting at a real light jog. But it's not the best sparring round. It's not the best way to do it. I very rarely do it. It's if I'm in a pinch, it's like grabbing a quick snack at a gas station. It's just if you're in a pinch and you absolutely have to do it. But it shouldn't be a normal thing that you're doing as your first warm-up is a sparring round to start out. But high-level practitioners, and when you're a pro-level athlete, you're training so often and you've been trained for the last 10 years, and then you also have another training partner who's trained for 10 years. They're also a pro athlete. So you get this really good, you know, synchronization with your partner where you can start out by drilling, or you could start out by sparring even, like say Josh Hinger and Keenan Cornelius. Like, they could start out and do a 10-minute sparring round and use that as a warm-up. Both of them have, you know, again, over 10 years experience. They're friends, they're training partners and stuff. With that, you can get away with it. Again, you can get away with it, but the majority of the time, that's not especially for new students, like somebody under 5 years of training, it's not smart to do. And I still don't do it myself. As you get older too, if you're past 25 or 30, it's just not the optimal way to do it. I've even heard arguments to, like, why do we jog? Like, why would you jog? Well, jogging is just a really easy way to elevate your heart rate. It's a really easy way. It's easier to jog and elevate your heart rate. It's a nice low intensity. You're not putting any stress on your elbow tendons or anything like that. You know, it's very low stress, low impact. You're running on mats. Easy way to elevate your heart rate. Even before you start drilling, like say if you wanted to warm up, like open mat time, you want to start drilling Toriando guard passes to warm up. If you jog for just 5-7 minutes, just a little bit, get your heart rate elevated, it's still going to help you out than before going straight into drilling. Believe it or not, drilling Toriandos, you could still give yourself some tendonitis in your elbow, some golfer's elbow or tennis elbow, if you just start out drilling because your elbows are tight, you don't have increased circulation yet, you haven't done anything, and I've had some golfer's elbow for the last 6 months, and it is no joke. It's really annoying. But thing is, you usually don't learn these lessons until you have an injury, and then that's how you learn. That's just wisdom, but these tips hopefully will help you out. But the coordination is really important. Basic coordination, your practice coordination. Like, I've even heard that, skipping front rolls and back rolls. I never skip front rolls and back rolls. Like, I love when I find videos of, like, there's one where a guy's riding on a motorcycle, he gets in a wreck, and the motorcycle sends him flying, he front rolls right to his feet. And it's like, you need to front, again, all skills depreciate. There have been so many times where I've slipped on ice in a parking lot, or just tripping over something. And I actually, the funny thing we had, Why did we have it? I think it was my fiance's father's wheelchair that we had. We just had in our house. We were storing some stuff for him. And I was playing around on the wheelchair. I was sitting on it. I was popping a wheelie on the wheelchair. I was seeing how long I could hold the wheelchair. And as I was holding the wheelie, I was balancing. I fell backwards and just instinctually, very lucky on hardwood, from being in a wheelchair doing something silly that could cause me an injury. I'm just being silly, just playing around. The wheelchair falls completely backwards. As it falls back, instinctually, I just front rolled straight through on hardwood to my feet. No damage to my head, nothing to my neck, like nothing. Just went straight through it. I couldn't stop it. It just, wheelchair started falling back. That's a really silly example, but if you have a job where you have to be active, you have to move stuff, you have to lift stuff, you have to move around, you'd be surprised. Like, falling injuries are really common. So even the front roll and back roll doesn't seem fancy or anything, but really important for everyday life and coordination, and especially if you're doing live takedowns, which we do live takedowns. Falling is a skill, okay? Falling is a skill. Spatial awareness is a skill. Knowing how to do a front roll when you only have 5 or 6 feet in front of you, how can you do a front roll without hitting that wall? Okay, so skipping those warm-ups, you are losing some skill and some important coordination. Active stretch, the crawl out push-ups, that's another one that we'll have people, that's the last exercise people skip. That, like, it's funny, I know that it's not going to build muscle. It's not the point. It's not enough stimulus to build muscle, but also it's not enough stimulus to, like, completely gas out your triceps and your pecs. It's just enough to get a little bit of weight, just a little bit of tension on your upper body before we do the stretches, so that when we're doing stretches and stuff, you got at least a slight pump in your pecs, just a little bit, not enough to gas you out. In class, I don't make us do push-ups and squats and crunches and stuff like that. A lot of martial arts classes, MMA gyms and stuff, they will incorporate the bodyweight movements. For our gym, our protocol is your strength and conditioning is done outside of the MMA gym. You're coming to the gym to learn how to fight better. We're giving you skill, and we're building your strength and your conditioning through the skill work, but we highly encourage strength and conditioning outside of the gym. But you, if we're in an hour class or an hour and a half long class, you're coming to us for skill development. So the conditioning and the strengthening, you're definitely going to get from your sparring and your drilling. But outside of that, that's why I don't make everybody do 100 push-ups every day in class. I remember being a student, I would get frustrated with things like that because I'd do a heavy, push day, and then our coach would make us do 100 push-ups. And it's like, okay, look, I already did this. I did a more effective workout than this outside of the gym. And, it's a little frustrating. But we're not doing that much. The crawl-out push-ups is just to get your upper body a little bit warmed up. But I know it's not going to break down any muscle. But it's also, if you already did chest, it's not enough of a workout to wear yourself out. I will do, I'll do chest, and then that morning, and then come for our lunch class and do the crawl out push-ups, and I just got done with the chest workout, and then I'll come back again at night, and for the night class, I'll do the crawl out push-ups again, which I did chest earlier, then I did lunch class, then I did night class. Especially if I lifted in that day, I really need to warm up that muscle group and make sure that it's loosened up and stuff, because it's gonna be weaker because if you just lifted, so you really need to make sure that it's not super super tight. But yeah, skipping those, again, you skip those, and then we have a pec injury, a bicep injury, a shoulder's tight or something like that. It's like, we got to warm up. It's really important. Just so you know, for most people, it takes about 15 to 30 minutes of a good and solid warm up before your engine's ready to roll really good. Okay, it's one of the other reasons why I wouldn't suggest like street fighting and stuff. And when I work security, if I think I'm gonna have to fight, I start warming up. I start rolling my ankles out. I start moving my arms. I start rolling my shoulders and my wrists and stuff. I do as much as I can without letting the person know that I'm gonna have to kick out of the bar, without letting them know I'm warming up to potentially have to go hands-on or fight with them, become physical. I warm things up that can pop easy, like an ankle or a wrist or your neck or your shoulder. The last podcast was on the bar fight stuff. But yeah, why do people skip warm-ups? We'll go to it short, sweet, easy. People skip warm-ups because they get boring. Look, I totally understand. Look, it's okay. Do the warm-ups. Even if you're in your mind, you're thinking about the sparring round you're about to do, just fine. Visualize. Go to where you're going. Visualize whatever you're doing while you're doing the warm-ups. They get boring. That's why people skip them. The other reason is it's definitely an entitlement mindset. It happens all the time when people get a little bit more seasoned in the gym, experience wise, or they get a new belt, they're becoming a higher rank. I mean, like the biggest people that skip warm ups, to tell you the truth, are brown belts and black belts. 100%. Brown belts and black belts are the ones that skip warm ups the most. And it's just an entitlement mindset. Like, I've gotten to the point where I don't need a warm up anymore. I've gotten to the point where it's like, nope. Nope. Jiu-Jitsu world champions aren't doing that. Boxing world champions aren't doing that. UFC world champions aren't doing that. So why do you think that you've gotten to a point where you're not going to do it anymore? It's just an entitlement mindset. It's you start getting a little bit of rank in an area in the gym, and so you start thinking that you don't need to do the things that brought you to that level, and that's always a recipe for a downfall, whether it's an injury or just people catching up to you and surpassing you and getting better than you. Is once you feel like you've gotten to a point where you've arrived, and then you start skipping all the things, you start neglecting all the things that brought you to that point. You know, it's just an entitlement mindset. I know it's really fashionable, and it's also true to like call out the young generation for being entitled, but the older generation's entitled as well. It's just a little human thing that we have. It's just a bad thing. You know, it's just one of the character traits that we have to constantly fight against. And work against. The best fighters are always the people that keep a beginner's mindset. You know, George St. Pierre, anybody that you want, beginner mindset when they're in the gym, they're very coachable, and they're insanely good, but also always like learning to or looking to keeping an open mind and keeping that a beginner mindset, not thinking that they're too good to do anything, basically. So okay, all right, so enough of the warm-ups, all right? Just don't skip the warm-ups. It's going to happen sometimes where you're running late from work. It's okay at our gym. Not the end of the world. But you don't want to make it a habit. And if you ever are running late from work or something like that, we'd rather you train than skip practice. So don't skip practice, but just make sure that you do a good solid warm-up and good warm-up. Break a sweat. Before you ever spar, you should have already broken a sweat and you should be nice and loose. So a good warm-up routine is going to make you perform better as well. Your reaction time, your strength, all that good stuff. The next one I'm going to talk about and it's going to be to eliminate the drag from your training is you gotta stop keeping up with your gym record, okay? It was actually my brother was talking to one of our students, and he relayed it to me, and I was like, okay, yeah, that's a good thing. That's a good tip. Everybody should hear this. Like, stop keeping up with your gym record, all right? You should never want to lose when you're sparring. You should never want to lose. And that is actually something that you can fall into when you become a higher rank. You can kind of coast and stuff. That's more of like a purple belt, brown belt, black belt problem, where you'll get to a skill level where you can kind of coast in a practice if you need to, and you won't push yourself. You need to not be happy with losing, and you never want to lose. You never want to lose because of your negligence or your lack of focus or something like that. You do actually want to lose though because you have such good training partners, because they're challenging you with new things, or you want to lose because you have good training partners, but you also don't want to go into it wanting to lose or giving yourself, today I'm, there's a difference from like if you're feeling overtrained or you're on the verge of an injury, and then just straight up mental fatigue. Everybody feels it. Like yesterday, I woke up from the start of the day all the way to the end of the day. Like mentally, it was just a drained mental day. My daughter was just born a couple days ago, and so my sleep is my sleep's being affected, of course, when you have a newborn. But I still just. Didn't matter. It was Thursday. Have to lift in the morning. The entire lifting session. Lots of times the mindset will go away once you get moving and stuff. Sometimes it doesn't. But I have my program. I have what I'm going to do. I have to get to the gym. I have to lift. I don't skip any sets. Don't skip any reps. Just do it. That's one of those days where you have to bite down your mouthpiece. The evening session. The jiu-jitsu class, still, I wish it would have like went away, but it didn't go away. I still have to teach a good class that all of my students gain something from. And then when we spar, I have a combat jiu-jitsu tournament coming up, a pro combat jiu-jitsu tournament. So I can't just coast. I need to have good goals. And luckily, sparring is so much fun, training is so much fun that in the moment, boom, goes away. Focus on what's going on. Have a good practice. End of the day, happy with the day, even though the entire day was just not a mentally, pumped up day. Majority of the time, it's not like that. You go through little, like not necessarily phases, but it depends day to day. But even high level athletes will talk about all the time waking up and their schedule they have not necessarily wanting to do it. Now, I luckily most of the time I wake up and I'm really excited about doing it. And once you get like a positive momentum, it's a positive feedback loop. So if you're in that, when you first start, I'll tell you the truth, when you first start training, you'll run into those bad days more than the good days, just because you're in a rough spot, because when you first start, you're not good at something, so it's tough. But as you start getting some positive feedback, as you start hitting techniques, or your sparring starts to get better and your body feels better, you look in the mirror and your body looks better in the mirror, or looks better on the scale, your numbers go up with your lifting or your conditioning, and you can see the difference in your sparring, that'll cause that positive feedback loop, so it does come back. But every day is not going to be sunshine, and you still gotta put the work in if you're looking to compete, especially on the days that you don't feel awesome, because those are going to happen, and might be 20% of the time, 15% of the time. You can't just skip those practices. But your gym record, just don't worry about it. It will cause you to close up. And when you close up, you operate at like 65%. It's one of the hardest things about competing is getting yourself to actually operate and perform at 100%. When you close up and you worry too much about what your opponent's going to do or what you might fail at, or, you know, and you're worried like, oh no, I got tapped. I got tapped, three times yesterday or something. You're weighing on that. You just need to clear it. Like, hit the refresh button, clear it. It's a brand new day, or it's a brand new sparring round, or after, say you get submitted, and then when you shake hands, it's a new session. It's a new session, every single one. And when you worry too much about it, it'll cause you to close down. Happens in competition all the time. You'll operate about the 65% mark, and you'll be really frustrated at the end because you didn't open up and you didn't go to your full potential. So don't worry about your gym record. Okay. At the same time, don't slack on yourself and just let yourself lose. All right. So it's a balancing act of don't be lazy and just not care about anything, but at the same time, don't beat yourself up too much. Okay. So it's two sides of the same coin. This is just a reminder for everybody, and I have to have that reminder too. The other day I got submitted and I got two clean takedowns hit on me. You know, the way my mind works, it's always worked this way from when I first started for MMA training. Well, it's just, once you have enough experience as an athlete, it will become part of who you are. But how my mind, I was an athlete at 5 years old, so I got through all the negative mindset stuff pretty early. But you know, I got two clean takedowns hit on me, and I got submitted. Okay, like I can tell you accurately from that practice how it happened, whatever happened, you know, all these things, and I remember it. I'm telling you right now, so obviously I haven't forgot it. But it doesn't beat me up. What it does is it motivates me. It makes me excited. Like, sweet, somebody hit a lateral drop on me. That's exciting. Okay. That makes me work even more. So you just want to take that energy and you want to consciously focus to turn it into motivation. It can be the greatest motivating fuel ever. But you have to practice it. You have to, there's not an exact way to know how to do it. What you learn it from consciously trying to take that energy that you feel that you want to throw and put yourself down with and turn it into a motivation. Say, I'm going to use this as fuel. How cool it feel when I can, when that technique doesn't work on me anymore. If your training and your sparring starts to stagnate, that's good to wake you up every so often, to have things like that happen to you. So especially the better you get and the higher skill level you get. So, and on that, I'll close with just, I've been listening, there was a Tim Kennedy podcast I listened to the other day, and he puts it a great way. It's the exact same thing. He put it a really great way. I think it was Tim Kennedy with, the Lance Armstrong podcast. So what he says is in training, every single day in training, he rushes to failure. Whether it's jiu-jitsu or kickboxing or wrestling, strength conditioning, rushing to failure. Meaning every single session he wants to hit failure. He wants to get to that point where he gets beat. He wants to rush to failure. He wants to get to that point because after that, there's growth. He's like a Special Forces, Green Beret sniper, also Strike Force and UFC top contender, really good MMA fighter, black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, high achiever, level of excellence and mastery, multiple subjects, and then says the same thing, like you want to get to a level of, you want to rush to failure. Now, I'm pretty sure it's the Lance Armstrong podcast. He asked him after that, later on, he says, when it comes to fight day, he's like, are you still wanting to rush to failure? And he's like, no, when it comes to fight day, like competition day, it's go time, there's no way I can fail. Okay, so you rush to failure during your training so that when it comes to competition, your mindset completely flips. There's no way for you to get to failure because you rush to failure over every single day. You got to that point. When it comes to the day of competition, it's the opposite. There's no way you can fail. And the reason why there's no way you can fail is because you didn't coast the whole time. Your whole training camp, you didn't coast. You rushed to failure with everything you're doing. You're working hard with everything you're doing. So you pushed yourself to such a high level that when it comes competition time, your threshold's so much higher than your opponent's threshold is. So yeah, that's a good podcast to listen to. Again, high achiever giving some good insight on it. And just to close it down, my little soapbox I started with before. The reason why it might be hard for you to open up in training and worry about your gym record, it's really easy. I'll just sum it up the best term, and it's douchebags. Okay, douchebags are the reason why. That everybody knows them. I think it's a smaller percentage of the population, but they're a loud, annoying percentage of the population. And what they do is they like power and they like control, but they don't necessarily like to work that hard for it. Some of them work hard for a portion in their life, some of them just do it through politics and just, you know, rubbing elbows with people, and they get into different positions and stuff, and then they don't want to work really hard. They don't want to earn it. They want to keep a position of power, but they don't necessarily want to work for it really hard. And anybody else that they see coming up, they see as a threat. It's a scarcity mindset, and they see a threat. So this happens in martial arts, but it also obviously happens in politics, where the way that people write different laws and things. You've probably worked for a company or organization that you know somebody like this. So what they do is they don't want to work hard. So oftentimes what they'll identify is they'll see someone with high potential, someone who has a good work ethic. Lots of people that have good work ethic, and there's like a cluster. There's a cluster of good behaviors. We have a student in our gym that's 15, 16 years old. Everybody in the gym knows, and if you're training in the gym, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I don't have to say his name. And has a good reputation, and the reason why is really polite. One of the first people in the gym, one of the last people to leave the gym, polite to every single person that walks in, nice to every single person, super competitive. Super crazy hard work ethic, and the douchebags don't have those qualities, and they don't have those traits. And what they do is when they see someone like that, they want to keep them down or put them down. And a lot of people like that are they're actually nice people, and they have all those good traits that will make them successful. And one of those traits is because they're polite, and because they're humble. The douchebags will put them down, and because they're introspective and they're calculating and they're constantly trying to adjust and make themselves a better person, the douchebags put downs, the put downs will work on them. All right. So the thing you got to understand is, if you're one of those people, and it could be YouTube comments, Instagram comments, whatever, just somebody doing this, you have to understand, ultimately they're a coward. Most of those people never want to fight. They won't fight anybody that is bigger, stronger, faster than them. They only want challenges of people who they perceive weaker or things that they can win a fight with. It happens on the mat. It comes out on the mat all the time. They'll avoid hard sparring rounds, but they'll want to go with somebody that they're 60 or 80 pounds heavier than, or they're a higher skill, they've been training longer, but they'll avoid all the tough stuff. Again, you don't have to say stuff. It just comes out in your behaviors. Your ethics and personality comes out in your behaviors. You don't have to tell people what you believe. You automatically show them what you believe by how you treat people and how you behave. They'll identify people like that, and they'll put them down as a way to keep them weak, because they don't want to lose that that leverage that they have over people. And the thing is, a lot of people, they just they're controlling your psychology and your mindset is one of the hardest things to do in your life, and a lot of people don't study psychology, they don't study sports psychology, And they're just polite people, so they're easy targets for the douchebags. It's one of the best things about training is it gives you the physical but also mental strength to stand up to people like that. And just so you know, if you run into somebody like that, now the thing that's just kind of tricky is if you find a alpha male or alpha female, somebody like a high performance person. They will, with their friends and stuff, it will almost sound like they're being douchebags to each other because they'll pick and they'll have fun and stuff. But that comes down to, that's when you've created a bond and a real friendship. You can pick with each other and it's fun and you smile and stuff. But it's never, if you listen to the context and stuff, it's really not to really damage the other person. It's not, you're just picking and you're having fun. It's kind of to amp the other person up or, you know, have a laugh and stuff like that. But it's not really to trying to damage somebody's soul or heart. So you might see that and be like, oh, okay. A mark of an alpha male, female, when it comes to physical, martial arts and stuff would never put down somebody that's smaller than them or less skilled than them or anything like that. It's actually the opposite. You kind of get like a, you kind of develop a protection mindset and mechanism because you have this ability, this physical and the skill ability that you actually kind of get like a protective and you want to help people out. That's why really good training partners, when new people come to the gym, if they're actually good and they're actually skilled, they don't pick and they don't make fun of people. When they first start training, if they make a mistake doing their guillotine or throwing a round kick or something like that, instead they help them out. So that's the mark of a true alpha and somebody who's actually good at something, and they're actually probably willing to take a punch in the face, and they have taken a punch in the face, and they don't avoid challenges and they don't avoid hard sparring rounds. So basically, ignore the douchebags, train hard. Don't listen to what they say because they're trying to manipulate you, keep you down, keep you weak. Ignore it. Just don't let those things, don't skip warm-ups. Don't let those things hold you back because they'll slow down your training, they'll slow down your progression, and they'll just not necessary. You know, just hit your warm-ups. Don't worry about your gym record. Rush to failure. So the day of competition, it's impossible for you to fail. And ignore the douchebags. Just keep on working hard, training hard, and just know that person that's chirping or talking the most trash and stuff is not the toughest person in the room. So I hope everybody enjoyed this new episode. I'll see everybody on Monday. If I don't see you over the weekend training, we got grappling games coming up March 7th. So that gives us the rest of January to get, if you took a little break, rest of January to get back into your prime shape, back to where you were if you took a couple weeks off, and then February to build new conditioning and new skills, and then March go show them. Then also I have a 8-man featherweight, 145. 145 combat jiu-jitsu tournament that's going to be in, I think it's Crossville, Tennessee. It's a pretty cool venue. It's at a historic theater. But if you want to go to that and get tickets, just let me know, and we can check it out. Combat jiu-jitsu is basically, you know, grab on your feet, just grappling, and on the ground you can palm strike. So it'll be some fun stuff. So hopefully you enjoyed this episode and some new good stuff for you. And if you're working on some new skills, don't worry about looking or feeling silly. Don't worry about failing. Yeah, you want to rush to failure in training, in the gym, so that ultimately we go to tournaments, we go to fights, and that's the true testing ground. That's where we go win. All right. So thanks for listening to the podcast, and see everybody on Monday.